Hi, this is Eric Hasso with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we're in the module for the working of miracles. And I tell you what, I am so excited. I just love this study. And as we get into it, we're believing that God created a capacity in us to believe you to walk in miracles. And God is a God of power. And we should be talking about his power. We should be singing about his power. And even when we pray in the Holy Spirit language, the Bible says that we are declaring and speaking forth the miracle works of God. So we are a people of miracles. So now let's pick up where we left off in the actual School of Acts manual. But let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, direct us and direct our words so that, Father, the Word of God, this curriculum, would be laid into our hearts so that our faith would rise up to a new level. Father, we thank you for miracles. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we left off with number two, with the School of Acts, working of miracles. So let's pick up there. Number two, working of miracles, the apostles to the crowds. Acts 4, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, in this operation, the apostles were actively working in the power of God. They were the ones working it. They were giving, okay? So that power was in them, and they were flowing in that power, giving it out. So they weren't receiving supernatural provision, protection, or blessing, but rather they were administrating this power in an outward flow out into the harvest. So therefore, I would assume that that the great power in demonstration was both in healings and in miracles. And not the gift of faith, because that's a receiving operation. These guys were flowing forth and giving. So it was an outward flow from these guys, from these apostles. So very powerful. Think about that. So we're going to list that under the working of miracles. Number three, through the hands of the apostles, Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands, that's interesting, how the Lord is using the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So in this passage, again, we don't have any specifics of what happened other than many signs and wonders. And remember, when we talk about signs and wonders, we're talking about signs that manifest the presence of God, wonders that just demand attention. So God manifests his presence, and he's demanding attention. And so in this, it's not giving us a specific, but it is saying that as these guys are going forth, even with their hands, there are mighty works of God that are being demonstrated. Oh, my goodness, that's power. Now, in the Greek language, let's think about this. The word working of miracles, so it means miraculous power energizing. So Samson killed a lion under the operation of this gift. Jesus walked on water through the function of this gift. So as these apostles were going forward, they're teaching, preaching in the name of Jesus and declaring his resurrection. This power, it began to energize. Now I want you to think about this. They were preaching, they were teaching, and that message of resurrection, it was core to who these guys are. And that's why we studied this whole School of Acts. We began it with the resurrection module because we need this revelation, Jesus is alive. When we have this revelation, Jesus is alive, then it brings a boldness and a confidence. And as we go forward declaring his resurrection, then power begins to energize. It's resurrection power. And the Holy Spirit, he begins to go, okay, I got to manifest and do something here. And so very powerful. So Let's continue. As these apostles went forward teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus, they were declaring his resurrection. That power began to energize. It was the Lord present with them, just as he said, confirming his words with signs following. So he was working and he was confirming his word. And, you know, think about this. Those precious words, "I'll never leave you," they must have been surging through the hearts of these apostles as they watched Jesus minister to the needy through their hands. And most likely, it was Peter, probably that night laying in bed. And I don't think he was thinking about the miracles. I think Peter probably was thinking about Jesus. They missed him. Jesus was with them 3 years. I mean, they lived together, ate together. They went on crusade together. And then Jesus went up to the right hand of God. And these apostles, they missed him. And then to see him working through them, healing, delivering, doing signs and wonders. So I think with these guys, they were probably more affected by the fact that Jesus said, "I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work through you. I'm going to be with you through the Holy Spirit." And I think that just brought great comfort to him. You and I were probably like, "Oh, did you see the miracle?" And Peter's like, "Jesus is with me. I miss his physical presence, but he's with me through the power of the Holy Spirit." Just meditate on that. Okay, let's go to number four, working of miracles. Stephen to the multitudes. Acts 6, verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Now, this chapter demands a lot of study. So a man functioning as a deacon, a simple helper, was also walking in the miraculous power of God. Remember, Jesus commanded his disciples to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He also clarified that the baptism would be a saturation of the power of God upon them. So see, Stephen, as a deacon serving widows, was proof that every member of the body of Christ is an able minister of the New Testament. This truth must have shaken the religious world. As Jerusalem leaders were hearing of these non-apostles doing miracles. Now just pause for a minute. Here's Stephen. He's not the apostles. He's a helper. He's a deacon. In fact, in this chapter, Acts chapter 6, we see the introduction of deacons. And all a deacon is this. The apostles carry the weight of ministry. They need to care for the needs of the people, but they need extra help. They need hands extended. And so in this chapter, Peter's like, "Listen, we can't stop prayer. We can't stop the ministry of the word. And so what we need is men to come and help us. We're going to call them deacons. And they're going to set the tables, they're going to feed the widows, they're going to help the widows. But here's the catch. As those apostles were in such prayer, the power of God was flowing like a river down through these leaders and empowering these deacons, not only to set tables, but now you've got Stephen flowing in mighty signs and wonders. And in fact, that's what the Bible says. There were many, many signs and wonders. And it's just amazing. Great wonders, great miracles. When God's presence would manifest, demanding the attention of the people. And here's Stephen. He's not even an apostle. And God is moving through him, speaking to the people. Oh, it's just powerful. Now, think about this. A non-apostle working in the power of God. It shows you the power of Christianity, the power of being in Christ. It must have shook the demonic kingdom. Realizing that the church and all of its members were now demonstrating the wisdom of God through the power of the gospel. So in this passage, Stephen did rather than receive. So it doesn't talk about him receiving the gift of faith. He was working in it, implementing that power out into the harvest. So that gift of faith, it's a receiving operation, while the working of miracles is a doing operation. To further clarify, when Jesus was sleeping in the boat, he was receiving God's protection from the terrible storm. After being awakened, he then enacts upon the storm and stills it. One operation is faith, while the other is the working or the energizing of miracle power. Think about it. It's not normal for a man to change a weather system. Jesus changed the storm by enacting upon it. Both examples are manifestations of the power of God, but in function they differ. So you take Stephen. He's a deacon. But in this example, we see these apostles in the right posture, in prayer before the Lord, in communion, and in that the power of God was flowing so strong that while Stephen is setting tables, he's like, excuse me, ma'am, I noticed that you're missing an eyeball. May I just pray for your eye? And, oh, such signs and wonders. An eyeball pops into the person's eye. I can see. This is the kind of miracles and healings that were in operation with this man. I mean, they were great. Well, let's move on. Number 8. Just think about that. Seeing the miracles that he did. The miracles that Philip did. Acts 8, verse 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Now, in this, Stephen and now his friend Philip, and that's who we're looking at here, these men were doing the power of God. So we're not going to list the gift of faith here. We are going to list the working of miracles. I mean, God had the attention of these people. He was manifesting his presence. He was demanding their attention. And then Stephen and, in this case, Philip, they were calling people to repent. They were calling people to serve God. And guess what? They were deacons. Now, I know we end up calling Philip the evangelist because I believe that's where he was moved into. But at this point, he was a deacon. And it just shows you the power of leadership praying, a proper flow of that glory, and a divine alignment with those who are working, whose hands are the hands extended of the apostles. Oh, powerful. Let's go to number 6. The working of miracles. Philip doing great miracles. I love that. Acts 8, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also and was baptized. He continued with Philip, and he wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. I mean, his life was being rocked. And he's watching God's presence manifest, God demanding people's attention, and then these healings. The key to this passage is found in the word continued. So you want to make a little circle there, continued. Samaria was being shaken by the power of God. In this example, Simon, who had earlier used magic to control the minds of the people, was also shaken to the point of believing. His magic show was now over, and a new strong man named Philip had appeared, full of the Holy Spirit and miracles. It's important to note that miracles proclaim the presence of God, and Philip's God-declaring miracles were not a one-day event, but they continued during his time in Samaria. So it wasn't just a one-time event. This man had miracles flowing through his ministry. Whew, powerful. Number 7, Peter raises Tabitha back to life. Acts 9, verse 40. But Peter put them all out. He kneeled down and he prayed. And turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. So Peter was called to come and to interject himself into this tragedy. So while standing over this lifeless body of a very loved saint of God, Peter turns his attention to prayer. As the peace of God filled Peter's heart, he then turned to Tabitha and spoke. In one sense, he was using his faith to speak to the mountains of death to move. Remember, the working of miracles is simply, in its Greek definition, miraculous power energizing. This miraculous power of God went into Tabitha and broke the power of death. It drove it out. As stated earlier, death will one day be thrown into the lake of fire. So until then, we must actively resist it and believe God to overturn it in the earth. And, you know, I absolutely love that because Peter is acting like a son, a child of God, coming against death and through the power of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this, breaking its power over, in this case, this wonderful saint of God. Amazing. Let's go to number eight. Number eight. Disciples preaching in Antioch, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and they turned to the Lord. Now, throughout Scripture, the phrase, the hand of the Lord, denotes supernatural operation. Though a specific event is not listed, it does reveal that God's power was flowing like a river during the preaching of the gospel. So, I've taken liberty, in light of Scripture, to list both gifts of healings and the working of miracles as a result of the hand of the Lord being with them. In one sense, we could list all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit for this verse, but because it's tied to the concept of people turning to the Lord, I'll limit my focus to the two primary gifts that work through the ministry of the evangelist, which are healings and miracles. So very interesting. So think about that. Now, number nine, you're going to love this because we're going to leave the Holy Land and we're going to shoot out beyond the boundaries of the Holy Land to find out that, guess what? God's power is God's power. And in the gospel, it's God's power to the ends of the earth. Nothing's going to change. Number nine, Paul and Barnabas, Acts 14:3. A long time, therefore, they abode, speaking boldly in the Lord, gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So in the Old Testament, Moses laid his hands upon Joshua, and the power of God filled him, giving him wisdom. The Bible has many examples of hands being used to impart the power of God. Jesus often used his hands to heal and to bless the multitudes. So the disciples learned the importance of using their hands in the performance of ministry from watching Jesus. Jesus has never changed. And in the book of Acts, he was using their hands, which brought pleasure to the heart of the Father. And in this account, there's no specific case given of the miracles, but I would conclude that the miracles that were happening here were miracles and healings, that those are the signs and the wonders that were being done. It gives the concept. They're using that power into the harvest. So they're enacting upon the harvest. Just like Jesus enacted against the storm, that was miracles. Here, they are enacting into the harvest. I want you to see that. They're taking and releasing that power into the harvest. Very, very wonderful thought. Let's go to number 11, Paul's ministry. Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The Greek word kratos, or mightily, has to do with strength or God's power in demonstration. It was the preaching of the word of God with these signs, with these mighty operations of power, that caused the plan of God to prevail. Therefore, I took the liberty to list all three power gifts in demonstration, which includes the working of miracles. Now, I want you to think about that. God's power, his hand, was so in operation with them, okay? Mightily grew, kratos, meaning demonstration of power was causing this gospel message and the church to grow outward. Without the power of God, there's no breakthrough. Interesting. So take time with that. Kind of meditate on it. And let's go to number 12 here. Paul raises the dead. Acts 20, verse 10. So Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." The raising of the dead is probably the greatest of all miracles. If we only knew how much Jesus hates death. Everything about Jesus' life, his life is so prevailing and strong that death itself could never have held him. Because of sin, the spirit of death has rights to the fleshy body of every man and woman on this planet, believer or non-believer. As we wait for the redemption of our physical bodies, living in the shadow of death, there is still a power that comes upon the sons of God to demonstrate against this wickedness called death on the earth. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He raised the dead during his earthly ministry and commanded his disciples to do the same. In the book of Acts, we see both Peter, the apostle to the Jews, and Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, demonstrate this mighty operation of God's power against death. And in order to do that, the working of miracles has to be involved. And I just love the thought. We're the children of God. We are made in his image. And what we saw Jesus do, he is commanding us, go do the same. The works that I do, you shall do, and greater works than these. And raising the dead, I don't believe is the greater work. I believe seeing people born again is the greatest work. So right under the preaching of the gospel and seeing people born again by the Spirit of God is raising the dead. And I tell you what, I believe that in these last days that there is a breed of Christian rising up that will demonstrate manifestation of the sons of God. And one of the key demonstrations will be against the spirit of death. Whew, hallelujah. I just sensed the presence of God as I said that. It's going to be signs and wonders against the spirit of death. In fact, like we just studied in the book of Acts, Paul raised the dead, Peter raised the dead, and it didn't matter whether it was inside the boundaries of Israel or outside the boundaries of Israel. God was raising the dead. So therefore, the working of miracles is so crucial in our lives. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what we've been studying. We're going to get it on the inside of us. And Lord, we're so excited about the working of miracles. Now, Lord, stretch out your hand with signs and wonders. We're asking, we desire to see the power of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, listen, we love you. Go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. God bless you. Until next time. Bye-bye.